Good morning. Our first song today is 220, Angels of the Realm of Glory.
Heavenly Father, Advent is a time for remembering and reflecting on the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you will turn our hearts towards you as Christmas approaches. Let us not get caught up in the hustle and bustle of the season this year and miss the chance to celebrate the gifts of hope, peace, joy, and love that you sent to us on that first Christmas. Father God, every word in Scripture points to the gift of hope, that gift that we have because of Jesus Christ. The Christmas story wasn't the beginning of that message of hope, because the Old Testament is full of glimpses of your plan to redeem your people and restore them into a relationship with you. But we are able to truly begin to see and understand just how great your love for us is when we read the story of Jesus' birth in the Scriptures. You showed us a glimmer of hope as you chose to send your Son into this earth through a family tree that was a little bit bent and scarred. We glanced at it again as you chose a tribe that was small and a city that was lowly. It can be seen when we recognize that you didn't send your Son to be birthed in a fancy palace among the wealthy and the elite, but our King of Kings and Lord of our Lord was born among common shepherds and livestock in a barn. The surroundings weren't grand. This situation wasn't without its difficulties. However, you came in the midst of all that, God with us, God in the messy, God in the fallen world, God in a difficult and troubled world. Your plan to redeem and restore mankind was to dwell among us, fully God and fully man. You chose to come to earth enrobed in the fragile, soft cloth of a newborn baby and set aside all of the glory of heaven for one purpose. You came to be with us. You came to love us. You came to die for us so that we might live. Help us to see that you are with us. Nothing is too difficult, too messy, or too dirty for you. Jesus came to give us the gift of eternal life through the salvation that only you, our Heavenly Father, can give. When we believe in your Son, repent of your sins, and confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That first Christmas, you gave us the gift of hope, wrapped up in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Thank you, Father, for your immeasurable gift. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
We light this candle as a symbol of Christ our hope. May the light sent from God shine in the darkness to show us the way of salvation.
Our next hymn is, O Come All Ye Faithful. Just stay seated. I'll give you a Christmas present.
Gracious God, in this season of anticipation, we offer our gifts with hopeful hearts. As we prepare for the fullness of your kingdom, may these offerings be a sign of our readiness and our desire to live attentively. Use them to bring justice, righteousness, and joy to our world. Surprise us with your presence and help us to look up, to pay attention, and to embrace the hope you bring. We say these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our next hymn is the O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Oh,
Okay, before we get to the scripture, I'll blame bifocals and say, sorry, I missed a step there. Over the next few weeks, I think it's very important for our cares and prayer concerns to keep in mind that there's a lot of problems going on in the world. I've talked about them in the past weeks. But I mean, especially for people like the floods and the wars and everything going on, some of them still have not recovered or will not recover in time for Christmas. Some of them's plans may have been destroyed. They may not have homes. Their homes may not be livable. I mean, this is a very, very bad time of the year to be dealing with disasters and problems of this nature. So I ask that all of us, each of us, as we pray for people and we pray for things over the coming weeks, please pray for all these people who have lost some, if not all, in everything that they own as they get ready to come into what is supposed to be a joyous, happy season that now is going to be a challenge or a problem to make it so. I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Does anybody have any other concerns? And I apologize, bifocals, I missed that step, so we get it. Okay, today's scripture is Luke 21, verses 25 to 36. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and the stars. On the earth, there will be dismay among nations in their confusion over the roaring of the sea and the surging waves. The planets and other heavenly bodies will be shaken, causing people to faint from fear and foreboding of what is to come upon the world. Then they will see the human one coming on a cloud with power and great splendor. Now when these things begin to happen, stand up straight and raise your heads, because your redemption is near. Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves, and you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, you know that God's kingdom is now near. I assure you that this generation won't pass away until everything has happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will certainly not pass away. Take care that your hearts aren't dulled by drinking parties, drunkenness, and anxieties of day-to-day life. Don't let that day fall upon you unexpectedly, just like a trap. It will come upon everyone who lives on the face of the whole earth. Stay alert at all times, praying that you are strong enough to escape everything that is about to happen and to stand before the human one. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was growing up, the cartoons I watched taught me that dynamite and quicksand were going to be pretty constant concerns in your adult life. You don't want to get blown up? You know what TNT stands for. Keep an eye on a fuse at all times, and don't let any sparks get near the fuse or the TNT box. You don't want to drown in quicksand? Then read the signs, watch where you're going, and know where the large branches and vines are. It's a piece of cake. Yet in all these cartoon-based life lessons, no one warned me about laundry and dishes. They're relentless. You eat, and then you have more dirty dishes to wash. You get dressed in the morning, and by the end of the day, you have more dirty clothes to wash. It's a never-ending cycle. And if you're like me, it took a while to figure out how to prepare for and manage the cycle of laundry and dishes, in part because someone's, real and maybe cartoon,
taught me life was about preparing for the extraordinary while living in the drudgery of the ordinary. As we begin the cycle of the liturgical year once again, you may be feeling the restlessness of it all. The pressure to make Advent Christmas feel special. The crunch of finishing up end-of-year paperwork and or giving campaigns. The busyness of extra rehearsals, gatherings, and parties. Just as our society enters a season of ramping up activity, as we head into Christmas and winter break, the liturgical calendar slows us down. Wait, the calendar says. Don't rush in. Prepare. The season can still surprise us. We might think we are ready. We might have been checking the calendar. We might have had plans underway for months now. And still, when the first Sunday of Advent rolls around, we have to deal with the shock. It can't possibly be this time again, we think. But let's be honest with ourselves. It isn't simply a matter of a calendar neglect. It is that this amount of anticipation comes in the midst of life in all of its fullness and its messiness. We are wrapped up in so many things, getting so many things done, so many things right, that we can be surprised that the very thing that we're planning for can actually come. This first Sunday of Advent, and let's pay attention to preposition, it's of, not in. Advent is not something that we endure. It is something that we become, something that we are. We are people who live in anticipation, who live in hope. It is the essence of our being to do so. So on this first Sunday of Advent, we are heeding the call to pay attention. Our life is a life of fullness and joy, but it is also a preparation for even more fullness. In our Wesleyan tradition, we call that fullness sanctification. Or if we want to be even a little riskier, we say we're moving on to perfection. We prepare for eternity. We prepare for kingdom, for perfection by living attentively. We might not really be shocked by the arrival of this season, but we are deeply startled by our continuing need to be reminded that we are called and we want to live in hope. Worship, then, in this season is an aid to preparation, a reminder to look up, to get ready. And as amazing as the Christ crowd coming is, we're not preparing for dynamite or quicksand. Our preparations to greet Jesus happen in the oh-so-ordinary things of life. Even good things bring about changes or adjustments. Even things we long for sometimes don't fit in to the life that we have made. Because we've been living without, making room is not always easy. This is why the first Sunday of Advent readings always sound so scary. We're being reminded that the world as we know it, it isn't the last word. And while our hearts long for wholeness, especially for the broken in this life, while our hearts long for peace, especially for those who have only known war, while our hearts long for fullness and healing, especially for those who are hungry or hurting, if those were to come, they would unsettle us for quite some time. Here is how Jesus spoke of those days that are coming in our gospel reading this week. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. people will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Now, I'm not sure how I received this sort of thing on the first Sunday of Advent. Sometimes I think that folks are expecting to hear preliminaries of the Christmas story, maybe an angel announcement, maybe a song of transformation, maybe a dream or a journey or a royal decree, but certainly not people fainting with fear and foreboding. I don't know about you, I'm not sure I'm up to foreboding. We just don't forebode anymore, do we? I don't even hear that term anymore lately. We got movies about the end of the world that are very impressive in their special effects. And we go to see that for entertainment. So if Jesus is trying to scare us, well, maybe he better do a little better job of it. But then a second look at these verses implies something different. Maybe it isn't fear that Jesus is trying to instill in us. Maybe it is something altogether different. Maybe it's the opposite. And what is the opposite of fear? It's hope. Stand up and raise your heads, he says to us. Our instinct when things are going badly or when the moment is difficult is to keep our heads down. But Jesus tells us to raise our heads, to look up, to trust, to have confidence, and to pay attention. Oh, that's a tricky one at any time of the year. But with all the distractions of the holidays, it becomes even more difficult. Pay attention, he says. But I've all these things to accomplish. I've got my list that I need to fulfill. I have places to go. I have things to do. Pay attention, he says. But to what? To the end times? No thanks. The folks that get all wrapped up in that kind of thing seem a little bit odd, a little bit out of touch. And frankly, they seem to have their priorities a little bit messed up. If the message is taking care of yourself and stay clean so that you come out well in the end, I don't think I'm personally really very interested in just that kind of a life. Pay attention, he says. Advent is a multi-layered time. There is the remembrance and the desire to recapture the birth of that baby again. We really want to hear that angel song and believe that, even if just for a moment, peace on earth is within the realm of possibility. We look back to what has been done for us, but at the same time, the scriptures remind us that there still is a coming on our horizon. We do look for the coming of the kingdom, when the lion shall lay down with the lamb, when we'll beat our swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, when we will study war no more. There is a someday out there towards which we lean and for which we hope. Advent is looking forward as well as looking back. Pay attention, he says. What if there is one more layer, one more direction in addition to backwards and forwards? What if there's an around in addition to the others? Look around, look up, look down. Just look, be on guard so that your hearts are not weighted down. Be on guard so that you don't miss it, so that you don't miss him. That's an amazing thing about this season. There are glimpses of the kingdom that appear when you least expect it. There are sightings of the Savior in the twinkling of the eyes, in the hesitant thank yous and the gasps of wonder, in the late night conversations of scattered family members trying to figure out what might be next, there are prayers of hope and love. There's an embrace of peace that brings tears to our eyes, but only if we pay attention. Jeremiah says it simply, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah." In those days, the prophet writes, God will execute justice and righteousness in the land. That would be a surprise, wouldn't it? Justice and righteousness, it's almost incomprehensible, almost too much to believe. It's almost too much to hold on to prepare for. Almost. That's what Advent asks of us, to believe in what seems to be unbelievable, to hold on to what seems to be beyond our grasp, and to live, to prepare to live as though it was the way we were going to encounter every day. This is why the prophets are a guiding image for this week. They lived preparation. They saw what was, and they heard what could be. They heard what should be, and they lived in that tension. They were Advent people before we were. We live a prophetic existence today. We live as a witness to what could be, what is coming, surely coming. That's our hope. That's our preparation. The days are surely coming, like unexpected challenges, like unexpected hope, like justice, like righteousness. And it will be to you a joy to receive it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so now we have time to enter into the service of Holy Communion. Ready? Christ the Lord, our Lord, invites to his table all who love him earnestly, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. We have failed to be an obedient church. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. You see, you come in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, and do it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of those mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's suffering and offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with one another, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would the ushers be?
please stand as we sing the First Noel?
Beloved, go from this place blessed with a hope that takes root and grows. Prepare us to notice, listen, and then join in with God's kingdom. And give us a hope to live and work with that dwells among us. Amen.